Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre in the UK. This podcast is a recording of the Bible message that is shared during the Sunday worship service.
You can now watch our service online through live stream at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and can also find our stories and videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen, we pray that God will speak to you.
May you know God's abundant blessing today.
The third Sunday in Advent is always designated as Gaudete Sunday, the day of joy or the day of rejoicing. And I wanted to set a decent tone at the beginning of my Bible message this morning on that idea. You will recall last year at the beginning of the year and at the end of the previous year, for many months you endured my commentary on the state of traffic on the Walsall Road at Perry Bar. I sense from your reaction you do remember it. I must have mentioned it once or twice in my addresses. In my little rants, I queried, along with many others, may I say, along with many others, I wasn't alone, what on earth was going on down there? I bemoaned the traffic jams it caused that I had to sit in for hours as a result of the local authority's decision to remove the Perry Bar flyover. Why has it gone? What can be better than this? I said. How is this new scheme any better? Well, this morning I come eating my own version of humble pie to say that now the junction's been finished for 3 months, do you know what? It's not bad. It's not bad. The traffic flows. I rarely sit in queues there, apart from at peak times, 4:30 in the evening. I guess that's the same in most traffic junctions around this city of ours. And it would seem that the planners might have been on the right track in saying that there was actually a better way for traffic to move rather than having this old flyover in place to do the job. I wonder if Joseph ever had a thought of a better way when he discovered that his young wife was going to be having a child, which the angels would tell him was begotten of God. Surely there was a better way for God to come into our world, to live amongst us and be our Saviour. Did he have to endure this? Surely there was a better way. Well, this morning, as we think of those in the Advent story who came together in one accord, I want us to consider the angel visiting Joseph. When Matthew was writing his gospel, it's very clear that he felt the need to explain to his readers the circumstances behind Jesus' birth. The fact that Jesus was born to Mary, even though she'd not had sexual relations with Joseph, needed some explanation. And so right at the very beginning, after giving the lineage of Jesus, he explains this to any readers listening to his story. When Joseph was informed by Mary that she was with child, you can understand his confusion. How can this be? I don't get this. It's not me. So if she's with child, it must be somebody else. He had every right to be angry, every right to quietly divorce her, as the narrative tells us. In fact, there were other people that would not have quietly divorced her. In fact, they'd have not been quite quiet in the same circumstances. They'd have been ranting from the hilltops and bemoaning everything. In fact, the law of the land gave Joseph the permission to disgrace her. But he chose to quietly divorce her. And the arrival of their firstborn should have been a joyous occasion. It should have been something they were planning. And instead, it becomes a scene that's more reminiscent of a modern-day television soap. This was not what Joseph wanted. Whilst grappling with his own feelings, Joseph needed an explanation. And so he gets this visit from an angelic being. And the angel of the Lord tells Joseph in verses 20 and 21, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Listen, there are some key points just in these couple of verses that we need to dwell on. First of all, Matthew explains to his readers that the child is from the Holy Spirit. Mary is pregnant by divine intervention. Matthew's hammering this home. Mary is pregnant by divine intervention. Now, this is not a usual occurrence, is it? It hasn't happened before, and God hasn't done it since. So why did God choose to do this? Surely there was a better way to come into our world. Well, the virgin birth is an important part of Christian theology, and we need to understand that. When the council at Nicaea established that defining statement of Christian belief, the Nicene Creed, in 325 AD, Jesus being begotten of the Father was at the heart of it. So why is that important? Well, when Adam fell to temptation at the very beginning of creation, as we know in Genesis chapters 1 to 3, from that point on, the sinful nature was passed into all human beings from that point on. We are sinners. We have that within our nature. When Jesus was born of Mary, he was born a human being. That's not up to debate. He was a human being. But by being conceived by divine intervention, he is also the Son of God, and significantly is born without any trace of that inherited sin. He is without sin. Jesus is born both fully God and fully human. The infinite, unlimited God took on the limitations of humanity so that he could live and die for the salvation of all who believe in him. And because Jesus lived as a man, we can know that he fully understands our experiences, our struggles. He knows what it is to be human. And yet, because he is God, he has the power and the authority to deliver us from the sin that we have inherited, because he is sinless. And so when we speak of joy to the world at the coming of Jesus, this is why. Joseph's confusion is our joy. We might think there might have been a better way, but do you know what? It was God's way. The book of Isaiah, the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, verse 8, doesn't he? "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." Do you know, it's important to understand God's way is not always our way. God's way is not always our way. It certainly wasn't Joseph's way. And yet, although God's actions were beyond human comprehension, although they may have led him to face misunderstanding and questioning looks from everybody around him, Joseph willingly followed that way. It wasn't his way, but it was God's way. I wonder, how willing are we to do what God wants, no matter what? How willing are we in our lives to follow and do God's way, no matter what? We might think there's better ways of doing things, but actually, God's way is the one that takes precedent. God's way is not always our way, but actually it's the right way. The second key point I think that Matthew draws out just in those verses, and he's keen to highlight, is that God shows Joseph through this angel that his life is not about to go down the pan. I've often tried to place myself in Joseph's shoes. Life was great. There he is, he's betrothed, he's got all life ahead of him. Who knows what it was going to bring to them in terms of prosperity, but it was good. It was okay. And suddenly he's told this. And I often think to myself, you know, if I'd have been told that, I'd have been wondering, that's life down the pan. But the angel is desperately keen to assure Joseph, no, it's not. Your life is not about to go down the pan, mate. Through the birth of this baby that Mary is carrying, God is going to save his people. That's what he says. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people. And you know what? That includes Joseph. Joseph is going to be saved too. Life isn't going downhill. This strange way that was undoubtedly causing Joseph a lot of heartache wasn't going to destroy their lives. Instead, it was going to be a saving way. And not only would God be, not only would this way be a saving way, God would be with his people. You shall call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. I'm going to be with you. And that was as much a promise for Joseph. I'm going to be with you here, mate. I know it doesn't seem great, but I am going to be with you. God wouldn't be distant. He would now be with his people. He was choosing to enter our world to be with us at every step of the way, come what may. Joseph was being asked to make a very big decision here. He was sat there on his own, pondering. And actually, he'd come to his decision. He decided he was going to quietly divorce her. But this visit from the angel gave him the opportunity to put whatever decision he had to make under the context of God's promises. God promised him his life wasn't going to be destroyed. He was going to be saved along with everybody else. God promised him he was going to be with him. He was going to be Emmanuel, God with him and everybody else. I don't know about you, but when I come to making big decisions and even small decisions, I get paralyzed by the fear of making the wrong one. Don't you? Right, I've got a decision to make. What if this? What will they say? What will this happen? What ifs surround all the decisions that we make? We imagine all kind of outcomes. And yet to make good decisions in life, my experience tells me that we need to take our concerns, our worries and our fears and put them in the context of God's promises. Right, this decision I'm facing, what has God promised me in this? Will this help me make a better decision? God cares for you. God watches over you. God guides your steps. These are the promises he makes. And this is how we should make decisions. For Joseph, he'd actually decided to divorce Mary quietly. And for him, it was the best decision he could make as far as he was concerned. He couldn't think of a better one. But God had other plans, and here in this visit, he made them clear. I don't know about you, but every decision I make isn't accompanied by an angelic presence coming into the room and giving me a bit of guidance. Claire comes every now and again, but not quite the angelic presence of an angelic being. I don't have that. You don't have that. But what I do have is that I can act in faith, knowing the promises that God has made to me already and makes to me every day. And that helps my decision making. If God's promises are worthwhile, then they should affect our ability to make a decision. End of. God is always with us, and his way saves. For Joseph, he changed his plans very quickly after learning God's plans from this angel. He obeyed God, he proceeded with the marriage that he had in plan for Mary. Even though others might have disapproved of the decision, he went ahead because he knew what was right. He followed God's way of doing things. But let's not forget, Joseph was still putting his life and reputation on the line when he decided to do things God's way. I think he took a great risk. Don't you? Would you have taken that risk? Would you have taken that risk? There was no promise from God that he wouldn't face snide comments. There was no promise from God that the rumours would end. There was no promise from God that others wouldn't react badly to him, that the family wouldn't reject him. And it's likely that others did disapprove. They made their thoughts known. And you know what? Sometimes we avoid doing what is right because we're frightened about what other people think. God's ways will always involve risk-taking on our part. To do God's way, are you willing to be a risk-taker? Am I? It also involves sacrifice. Joseph did what God wanted, even though it could have cost him everything, even his impending marriage to Mary. Friends, I say to you this morning, to be a follower of God, you will need to be a risk-taker. God's ways are not always easy, but like it was for Joseph, they can be a source of great joy and open us to God's fullest blessings if we're willing to sacrifice our agendas and our plans in order to do God's way. Today is Gaudete Sunday in our Advent calendar, a day to celebrate joy. We sing about it often enough, don't we? Throughout the year, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Joy to the world. Joy is a word we associate with this season more than anything. Yet, as we've discovered this morning, from the coming together of Joseph and this angel, real joy actually comes from following God's way. Real joy comes from following God's way. Joy comes to us as we go to God, as we receive his plans for our life. God cares for us, he watches over us, he guides our steps. And Joseph came to the best decision of obedience and surrender to God's plan, and he made his choice clear. I'll follow God's way, for he is with me. Emmanuel. It might involve risk, it might involve sacrifice, but it's God's way, and it's the right way. How about you? How do you think about God's way for you? What does God's way for you actually mean? And what will you do about it? Watch the screen.
Don't worry, my boy. You'll be nice and warm. I wrapped you in your mother's old blanket. Some start with that, huh? A 90-mile walk, just so you can get born in a stable. You know, if we were back home in Nazareth, I could build you a fine crib. But here, no crib. I have to put you to sleep in the hay. Yeah. home visit from an angel? Mm-hmm. And to write it down so I wouldn't forget what it said. Joseph, son of David, fear not to take Mary for your wife. For what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will save the people from their sins. Did you hear that? You will save us from our sins. You will be. You are the Messiah. I've been chosen to be the Messiah's Papa. I do not know how it will happen, but I'm done doubting. I want to tell you how happy you can make me. No, it's more than happiness. It's, what did the shepherds say the angels told them? They bring good news, great joy. Yes, that's what it is. It's joy. That's what you bring. My sweet, beautiful boy.
Let's pray together. Father God, when we read the story of your coming into this world, we often are marveling at it, yet we often ask questions as to, gosh, so confusing. We think, was there a better way? Could you have come in some other way? And yet this was your way. And as it was your way, it was the right way. Lord, we thank you for sending yourself in human form to understand our frailties, understand our struggles, understand human nature. But we also thank you for coming as the perfect, sinless Son of God who was able to atone for the whole world because he was without sin. Lord, when we think of our own lives and apply things to our own lives, God's way, your way, is not always our way. We'd rather do it differently. And yet we know that full joy comes in doing what you want us to do in the way that you want us to do it. Lord, you're always with us. You're always there. You're always there to help us, to save us. Yet we know that following your way sometimes requires risk and sacrifice. So this morning, on this Gaudete Sunday, this day of joy, if we are to be risk takers, if we have to sacrifice something in order to follow your way, then may it be so. Give us the clarity and the joy that you gave to Joseph. Give us the understanding. Give us the comprehension. Lord, you are such a great God. We can never hope to understand you fully. And so we just ask today that you'll enlighten us more and fill us with your joy as we seek to do your way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.